I see it all now. What we gotta do is we gotta snag that tall dude and stomp the shit out of him, and we'll find out what the hell is going on up there. Yeah, we'll lay that sucker out flat and drive a stake right through his goddamn heart.
I mean, you gotta be shitting me, man. That mother's strong.
Where he came from, nobody knows. His evil spread like a plague, destroying towns, maiming and killing. We called him the Tall Man. At first we thought he was just an undertaker. His hordes pillaged graveyards, rooted up the bodies, and spirited off the dead to a place worse than hell. We were just three friends. Jody was taken from us, turned by the Tall Man into an alien form. His younger brother Mike, I've tried to protect as he's grown. The Tall Man wants to transform him into one of his kind. My name is Reggie. I was an ice cream vendor by trade. Now, I'm a soldier. A soldier in a war against his army of the living dead.
Everyone, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast. It's Joey, along with Christopher J and the Man Beast Gabriel, and today we're talking about Phantasm 4, released in 1998. Am I lying about that, Chris?
That is correct, about August of 98.
So this is the continuation, of course, of part 3, and we're just going to jump right into this one, dude. This is one of the more boring Phantasm films, and at this point we've watched them all, so I can say that with confidence. And you know, I don't know how long this podcast is going to be, but I'm going to go ahead and just let Chris, you know, right off the bat, dude. I mean, when you're seeing this film and you watch it in full, I mean, what's your pros and your cons, and then, you know, Gabe, right after that, just, you know, completely annihilate him and tell him he's wrong.
Pros? Pros, I would say again that they're using the originals. That's all good, including the Tall Man, including the original three. That's fantastic. I like it. The dark feel, there's not so much comedy in this other than at the beginning when Reggie goes, Mike left me hanging, and they show him literally hanging on the wall. That's the extent of the comedy you're ever going to see in this movie. I mean, it's fucking great. Like, and I mean, Reggie, like, I popped you when Reggie describes himself as, I was an ex-ice cream vendor by trade.
That's right. The beginning is actually the best part of the film. Yeah, the little music video.
And then just overall, I mean, the feel of the movie was good. Just slow. Just you're not really following exactly what's going on. And it's and when you're – it's here's the double whammy. When a movie is slow – and when you're not really following exactly what's going on, and there's not good dialogue in that slowness, like, you got to have something to hold on to. So you're thinking to yourself, man, this is really going to have an awesome payoff, but I'll leave us hanging just like Reggie was hanging in the corner of the
wall. Oh, my God. So, yeah, before, I mean, for me, like, I was, like, super excited when I put this on, just because I'm like, well, what's going to happen? I remember kind of having... because I was a big Phantasm fan growing up. Like, it was probably like my top, you know, my favorite franchise back then was Nightmare on Elm Street, and this one was probably like second or third. And I just loved it, just because it was like, it had somebody as a kid as the main hero, And then, of course, the film kind of like slowly shifts to have Reggie. But I really like the imagery. Like, it's like a damn – I mean, put on the first 5 minutes of this movie, you know, and like that's like almost like the whole best part of the whole movie, I would say. Like, if you have to pick 5 good minutes of the movie, it's like the first five, because it's like a music video. You're talking about all that. I was an ice cream man by trade, and he's like, first, you know, they took, you know, Jody, and he talks about Mike, and I've been here to protect him, and you see the tall man walking down the corridor, and it's just like a badass thing. And while all this is going on, I remember it starts off with the hearse going through the graveyard, and I was like, oh shit, this is pretty cool. And then I was like, oh, it's Mike driving the hearse. That's right, he took off and left Reggie. He left Reggie hanging. So it kind of like it flowed really, really well. But yeah, it was kind of a, after that, it kind of like kind of disappointing. But we'll get into that here in a second. I mean, Gabe, what were your overall thoughts or, you know, experience watching this one, dude? After watching the other ones, you know, the three prior.
Like I said, one was good. Part two was great. Part three, I'll tolerate it. You know, four is garbage. Just straight up trash. I mean, there are some pros to it, you know, but there are some pros to this. Like, I love the fact that they're still consistent with Reggie. I'm glad they're just not switching him out with some other, you know, actor or somebody else like they did in part two.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that they're consistent with, like, these characters. Old Mike, you know, comes back again, which is pretty great, too. You know, that's another.
Yeah.
But honestly, the only thing that's keeping me interested and coming back is, at this point, it's like you don't even care if they find Mike or find Jody or who's looking for who.
Yeah.
Honestly, from my point of view, like, the only reason why I'm coming back is that, what the hell is up with the tall man? I want to know more background on him. I want to know if he's going to die. Can he die? And we saw that Reggie, Jody, Mike, they all saw this red planet or like this other world when they went through those tuning forks, those pitchforks, the tuning forks in the beginning of part one.
Yeah.
We want to know what the hell was that? Where did that come from? You know, we want to see more of that. You know, this is sci-fi horror. I want to see, mm-hmm. you know, so far the only sci-fi I'm getting out of this is the Sentinels, the little robot balls flying around. And, you know, we're getting a little more. We got a little more from part three that, you know, the dwarves are being shrunken down. But, you know, do you really care about the damn dwarves being shrunken down? You know,
yeah.
I mean, we're cool that the little balls are flying around. I mean, that's, you know, that's interesting. But, no, man, I want to know more about this tall man. Why is he always pissed off? What's his deal with stealing all the damn dead bodies? You know, we know what he's doing with them, but why? You know, we want to see an ending. We want to see, is this it? But no, all we did was get more lingering and more hang-ups. Like, yeah. More, honestly, during the, I swear to God, during the, down in the 1990s, I'm serious, this movie's getting me all riled up. 1990s.
I love it, though. It's great.
I swear, every damn show I would watch, because, you know, I either had to wait till Friday to go ahead and get to Blockbuster after my old man was drinking and playing his pool. I kid you not, that was my Friday nights. Take me to Blockbuster, go ahead and run to the horror section, rent whatever I wanted. That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
But I kid you not, those times that I couldn't go to Blockbuster because, you know, well, I was a little bit of a bad kid when I was younger. And so I did not get to go to Blockbuster. So what happened? I would have to suffer with just watching whatever was on TV. And what was on TV was a shitload of to be continued and a whole bunch of censored stuff. So, like, I want to watch Phantasm. Any bad words was censored. Oh, is there a cliffhanger? It's a to be continued. And honestly, I kind of felt Oblivion 4, you know, the Phantasm 4, that it was terrible. I felt that whole movie was nothing but a to be continued.
Isn't that Gabe, I don't mean to cut you off, Gabe, but I just want to ask, isn't that a truism in general of late 90s horror? Like, if you go from end of 96 all the way to like 2003, horror movies in that 7-8 year period are just fucking cheesy, right?
It's cheesy, and I hated it. I don't care for cliffhangers. I don't like all that. Usually, like, even I'm a comic book fan. I'm a horror fan, and I love horror TV series. But I don't watch anything right away. I wait till the whole bulk comes out, and then I'll just binge watch the whole thing so I can feel like I got the whole completion. And if I get left on a cliffhanger, then I get that irritation at the back of my head, and it's just terrible. It doesn't take away from characters or things that I liked about the movie. It just adds a little, like, all of a sudden this movie's like an awesome 10.0. All of a sudden it just got down to a damn 8 or a 9. Why? Because it left me on a cliffhanger. Yeah. I didn't get to see why Tall Man is tall. I didn't see why he wore black. You know, I want to know what's up with that one squinty eye. Why is he pissed off? You know, is he irritated? Is he constipated? I don't know. I just want to know.
But okay, Gabe, let me ask you this, and I know Joe's answer. I know my own answer, obviously. Did you watch the X-Men cartoon in the 90s?
Oh, sons of bitches. Yes, I did. I watched it. That always left on a damn cliffhanger, too.
It did, but here's the thing, though.
I watched it all the time, though.
Okay, me too. Every fucking Saturday, and then when they made it an occasional weekday thing, I'd watch it then, too.
Yeah.
But every fucking Saturday, you know, remember season 3 is when they brought in Apocalypse for the first time.
Yeah.
And he would just be an occasional character. Like, he wasn't every episode, but here and there. And it made you just wonder, like, and then they just keep adding the mystery, and finally they have that one episode where Archangel figures out all these ancient drawings where everyone pictures that if you stab him in the back of the neck, you kill him. And eventually I'll fuck this up for those of you who haven't seen it. Finally, by season 5, they figure out he's got a Lazarus chamber, that he goes dormant for periods and he'll recharge, stuff like that. And then if you destroy the Lazarus chamber and then get the psychics to turn against him and stuff, then you can put him away. You know, right. But the whole point, the reason I bring that up is because over the seasons...
I bring that up because I didn't like Phantasm IV that much.
Yeah. We changed the subject so easily?
Yeah.
That movie was that terrible.
Well, yeah, it was, but the thing is over the seasons and over the times, this is paralleling to Phantasm IV, because over the seasons and over the episodes, you slowly learn more. The mystery unfolds little by little about this Apocalypse guy until they finally get to a precipice where they could destroy him. And
right,
maybe,
right. But see, with Phantasm IV, and I understand, I'm all right with slowness. I've seen a whole bunch of horror movies, even some that are, there's really no talking. They're just doing things.
Yeah.
There was a fairly newer movie, or I'll call it a film, would be Possum. And again, that's the same, like, there's not really much to that movie other than you see this guy just carrying this damn weird suitcase throughout the whole damn movie. And you start getting some more dialogue and some more background probably, like, more than half of the movie is already over. Like, I kid you not. And I understand there's slowness in movies and there's build-ups. But this, like, I felt like I've been waiting for this, like, since part one. Mm-hmm. And part one was 1979 when it came out.
Yeah.
And look at the big year gaps that we're having between each one of these movies. I mean, seriously, do you understand, like, how much the fans were ranting and raving when they heard about Ravager? Finally, they're going to give some closure and actually shut it down, saying, okay, this is the final movie, you know, part 5, you know, that's it, we're done. So I was like, oh, they're actually going to give, like, an ending to this thing? You know, I have to watch it because I want to know.
Yeah.
I've been hooked on watching 1, 2, and like I said, part 3 and 4, I vaguely remember because they just weren't that interesting. But I can sit there and tell you more about 1 and 2 because there was a lot of action, there was a lot more going on, and you kind of, those left on a cliffhanger too, but again, you know, that's, honestly, this is what's keeping me interested in this movie. this whole movie series, it's just because I want to know more about that tall man. Mm-hmm. I want to know about Mike and Jody. What's the deal? What's the interest in them? What's going on? And all we get is Mike stuck inside a hearse throughout pretty much most of the movie. He is bored. He is, like, trapped in there. But the tall man's like, no, just go wherever the hearse is taking you. It's on autopilot. Oh, okay, well, shit. So it's on autopilot. Reggie's, like, fussing around.
Getting pulled over.
Yeah, he's getting pulled over by a damn cop who throws up in his mouth. Now, okay, well, that was a little interesting. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But then we get some, like, little weird twists in there with Jody. He comes back, but then he's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. So
that pissed me off.
Exactly. And it just, there's just so many little things about this movie that was more irritating than the first three.
Okay, Gabe, can I interject right there? It's not even that they bring in Jody, you know, as a heel. It's they did not effectively sell the audience on Jody really being a heel.
Right.
Or a reason for him being a heel either. It's just like, okay. He's just going to turn on his brother for no reason. You know, it's just weird. Like, we don't see them together the whole film, and I talked about it, you know, before. It's like, you know, we had the problem with Mike not being in the film a lot, and then here they finally get to all be together, and it's for, like, we've been waiting the whole film to actually get Mike and Reggie together, and then and we don't see them till the very end where it's Mike, Reggie, and Jody, and then it's, like, sour because Mike's like, don't trust them, Reg. You know, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I was like, I never got that feeling that Jody was a bad guy, but, you know, Mike's telling me to think so, and it's disappointing, and I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, he's been telling you about the tall man, and he hasn't tried anything yet, but now he's like, don't trust him, Reg. You know,
that's the whole thing. Like there was nothing indicating. I mean, yeah, he came off a little strange at a couple parts. But there was nothing really indicating or making you suspect that Jody had turned heel. And then out of nowhere, fucking his brother Mike just says, don't trust him, Reggie. You know, it's like, okay, why don't we trust him? I've seen nothing that tells me not to trust him. And then right after that, then all of a sudden he's helping the tall man cut his brother's brains up. Like, what the fuck?
So, I don't know about y'all, but when I saw Reggie seeing, like, a random... Now we have a blonde chick, dude. We have, like, every different color, you know, chicks in these films. But as soon as he was at that stop and he's, you know, tucking in his over-ass flannel shirt and he sees Jennifer, I'm like, oh, she's dead. And sure enough, Reggie, like, cuts her off and her car flips over and Reggie doesn't say sorry or anything. But they end up staying at a hotel or a motel together and she's got the sphere titties, dude, that's, like, very disturbing. I was like, man, whoever Reggie comes across, you know, they always end up dying if they're a chick, dude. It's pretty sad, but, you know, it gets hard on the road.
You know, I was looking forward to that part because I was thinking, like, okay, I know something bad's going to happen. It's either going to be blood or titties. I'm happy with either or, you know, but I'm kind of rooting more for titties, but her tits are moving, man. So
they're disturbing looking, dude, for sure. I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, can we say that now? Every chick we've said, every chick Reggie comes across,
except for Rocky. Yeah.
What do you call it? They all die or turn evil on him or whatever, and Rocky just stays perfectly intact and you know, fights on and everything. So it's like the old expression, "Good black don't crack."
Yeah, it's funny, man, because it's like, in the first one, there wasn't really a chick except for the lady in lavender, but that's like the tall man, so it doesn't count, you know? And she ends up stabbing Reggie anyway, or he. And then we have Alchemy, and it's, I guess, the tall man, too, Gabe assumed, and I was like, okay, I'll go with it, too. And then Liz dies, and then now we have, then we had Rocky, but she was like the only black chick in the, well, Nehemiah Part 1 had the black maid, but here they bring Black Strong, you know, they bring back Black Strong by making her survive and being the only smart one in the fucking film to say, you know what, man, fuck all this shit, man. And now we have Jennifer show up and she dies right away. And then, like you were saying, like, I really pissed me off is that, okay, I'm waiting to see the that's what really makes this film disappointing is that, can you imagine waiting, you know, like the 4 years to wait for this film to come out? And like, I'm glad that, you know, that they did these films, but this is one of those ones, you know, I'm glad that we got to see the unused footage from the first film that's so fabled that we talked about, because this film has a ton of unused footage, especially with Reggie doing the old ice cream gimmick, and then there's clips of Jody seeing the tall man in back of him and a bunch of shit like that. But it just feels like we're waiting for, like you were saying, some kind of payoff, some kind of, you know, continuation, and all it is, for the most part, is just Mike driving in that fucking hearse, little lurkers being in the back of the window, the tall man being back there for a brief second. Which I like some of that imagery, but it just seems like it just drags on. It feels like we're in that hearse for like an hour, and we damn near are just about in that motherfucker for like 40 minutes. They had the old lady come back from part one, the medium, like in the seat real quick, and then she's also like hanging out with Jebediah Morningside, so they give him a name now. But in this whole entirety, this film, it's like nothing really happens. I mean, Mike just drives and drives and drives, and then the only reason to see this film is probably like 10 minutes worth of footage, probably 15. It's just the beginning. And then when Mike goes back in time and sees that, you know, Jebediah, or the tall man, was basically interested in like dimensions and shit like that, and he kind of came up with his own, time machine where he would like crank something, you know, and he had the two little poles or spears and shit, and that was really it, and that was the most interesting thing. And like, again, that whole thing was like 5 minutes. I mean, did y'all find that shit interesting, as far as like, not only do we know there's different dimensions, but it's like a time travel thing, till we go back to where the Tom, like I like when Jody kind of like says it, he's like, this is the night where he finally crosses over, or some bullshit like that. I don't know.
I did like that, and I did find it interesting, but they wasted, like, they come up with something good, a good explanatory piece, a good historical look into some of the roots and origins of this guy. Now we know why every movie since the first one has the word Morningside with the cemetery. Now we know that's his name. Now we know that this Jebediah Morningside, once upon a time, was a regular human being and a fairly nice guy who was just really interested in science, and he was the original Doc Brown discovering time travel. But then they fuck it up by just throwing it away.
Yeah, I would have liked for them to expand. Just like, this whole movie, it should have been like a lot more of that. Like, you know, instead of Mike driving around, like, you know what? I like some of the imagery, like I said, like I like when the tall man jumps into like he's in the back of the hearse and he just goes into the casket and it's like red, so you know he's going to that other world and shit. So like, shit like that's really cool. But it's just like, there's so much time wasted. Like this, like, you definitely felt that, you know, they took away the budget like worse and worse and worse from these films, and like where it's you know, Mike writing in you know, a diary, talking about what he's thinking and shit. You're like, why the fuck do we need to see like this shit? You know, it's like, oh, probably because of money. You know, it's like, you know, like it was just Coscarelli and Michael Baldwin like on a weekend. Like, okay, we gotta film you just writing this shit down. You know, and then we'll film. You know, I'll film Reggie on his own. It seemed like the budget and the schedules, they probably didn't match much, that they only got to be together maybe a week in this whole film.
And you talk about budgets. Do you know this film was done on a budget $650,000? Now, $650,000 is an okay budget in 1981, but not in 1998.
That's very low budget, man. I mean, fuck. You know, anyway, so this film has like a shit ton of like the flashbacks, and I always like the ending a lot on this one, just because he fucking, like, Mike gets his head ripped out, and Reggie goes back to go and, you know, save him and all this shit, and he's like, he hears, I'm dying, Reg, and he's like, you know, did you hear something? It's like, it's just the wind. It's just the wind, or whatever the fuck, is that what he says? And, like little stuff like that, like, they were able to use the old footage and mesh it together, which, to me, again, even shows the budget more, is that they had that kind of budget. They were just kind of like, okay, let's use shit that we already shot. You know what I mean? Fucking 20 years ago.
I honestly believe that that's probably, like, one of the good pros about this movie, is that I like some of the flashbacks that they have, mm-hmm. like, towards the older films. You know, that's pretty good. And then I think even one of the flashbacks, they even had like a Civil War scene too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, and like some of the flashbacks I enjoyed, but honestly, as far as the main story goes, yeah, that it just was not going nowhere. And I think at one point or another, when we were all talking, Chris actually mentioned, he said, well, you know, they could have done more with the story, you know, but it was kind of all over the place. I think Chris ended up saying, he's all, someone should have grabbed that and passed it off to someone who, you know, just to kind of proofread it, just to make sure to see if this whole thing makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of feel like that they should have done that. They didn't. I don't think they did. And they just said, you know, this is good enough. Let's just run with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like exactly like that we have this idea, but no one's going to poke holes and say, well, what if, you know, they should have done this or done that? Like, none of that happens. Like, here's a story, we're going to run with it. And it's like, it definitely feels like that. Like, if someone would have gave me this script, I would have said, this is 90 minutes of him. I mean, I don't even have to explain it. It's on film. It's like, why is he in the hearse so much? Why is Mike running away from Reggie the whole time? And why don't they learn? Like, this film just would have been so much better if they would have had the characters from part three doing all this shit with Mike, you know what I mean? Bring Tim, bring whatever, Rocky, Reggie, they go back in time and they see certain things. They make a little bit smarter decisions. That would have been a much better film than just Mike wandering. He finally meets the tall man, you know, Jebediah, and doesn't ask him any questions. He just stands there silent and runs away. And the tall man's talking his ass off. It's probably the most we've ever heard him talk, you know, like, he's all, you don't look like you're from around here. You know, are you lost? You know, did you make passage to the dimension? All that good shit. And that's it. Yeah. You know?
Man, he was all drinking lemonade. But yeah, you're right.
Let me offer you some lemonade.
Yeah, he didn't. He was like speechless. I understand that at that moment, he's been dealing with this big malevolent power, you know, this powerhouse of a tall man. And then all of a sudden he comes in, you know, he realizes like, oh shit, I'm somewhere else. And he sees the tall man more, you know, more neighborly, more friendly. Like, hey, how you doing? You want some lemonade? Having a good time. You know, and
How about some Japanese poontang? He's like offering some hookers and shit.
But instead all he did was run away. And at that moment, I realized, I was like, I'm yelling at the TV, mm-hmm. pissed off, because I'm thinking, like, you could have asked them, what happened? What did you build? What have you been doing? What was, you know, just more questions. I'm pretty sure a lot of fans probably did that too.
Yeah.
And we got nothing.
Yeah, it's like they had a good idea, but it was executed like shit, you know? And, like, mm-hmm. I'm a big Phantasm fan, but it's like, you had the idea. It's just like, you just kind of like, this is good enough. And it just feels like, no, let's expand on this good idea. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, how about Back to the Future? Oh, he goes back in time and then that's it. Like, okay, we're going to go back in time for 2 minutes. Like, no, you have to tell the story and explain. It just seems like, yeah, just half-assed, you know, whatever kind of ideas. Reggie ends up putting on his fucking ice cream man outfit. I laughed my ass off when he did that shit. And
that's, for no reason.
Yeah, it's like,
nostalgia, I guess.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to put on this fucking ice cream outfit. Like, but stuff like that, like, why does he have to put on the ice cream outfit? Like, maybe it would be like, it would have been a good idea if, like, something had exploded and he's like, well, good thing I have an extra stash of clothes or something stupid, right? And he had the ice cream outfit. He's been carrying it around forever and shit. But it's just like, there's been two movies. He hasn't put that motherfucker on. Now on part four, he's going to, you know, do the nostalgia, dude, you know? So, I don't know.
I kind of feel like that probably would have been the equivalent of, like, Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead. He tore up his shirt and he's like, let me throw on this tie-dye shirt, you know, that says Groovy on it. You know, it probably could have been something ridiculous or something like that. And why the ice cream, I don't know. He, like he even says, like, you know, I'm an ice cream man by trade, you know. And I'm pretty sure he was so fixated that that was his career and he of was, choice.
He had to carry the outfit just in case, dude, that there was a job to be done. And he was, like, the only ice cream man within a radius of the tall man to be able to get the kids over and shit. But this film, you know, is noticeably, of course, like, slower, but it's like, compared to the other one or part three, I mean, it's like there's hardly anybody in there, really. I mean, like, you know, it feels like really isolated. You got Mike by himself the whole time. You got Reggie by himself, like, the majority of the time till he meets Jennifer. And then, like, Mike will, like, run into Jody, and it just seems so, like, bland, boring, not enough shit going on. Definitely disappointing. So I guess it's about that time where we rate this motherfucker, Christopher J. So, I mean, what are what's your rating and why, Chris, and why, what's going on with this whole Nancy story, dude?
Nancy's story's been dead in the wild, been in the water for a long time, but I will tell you this, rating this movie, I'm going to rate this one even worse than part three, because part three at least had a decent storyline progression and a, you know, nice cliffhanger it leaves you at and everything. This one is just a fucking waste. And I mean, for all the good ideas and good concepts they have that are just so poorly executed, and for all the slowness that doesn't lead to any kind of payoff in anything, and the slowness with no dialogue, and the slowness that sometimes just makes no sense at all. And then the fucking ending is just what really makes me want to throw my fucking cup at the TV. I mean, fucking, like, why do you end this with some random unused footage from part one? I don't get it.
You jamming, Chris, or what?
I thought you would catch... Joey, I expect you of all people catch that one.
I can't. I just hear the gadong, I can barely hear anything, but Chris is getting...
Oh, you didn't hear David Lee Roth. That was the Ice Cream Man song.
I couldn't make it out what it was, but of course Chris tried to be cute and shit. I couldn't even hear what you. I mean, I heard what you were saying, but anyway, Gabe, what do you give this film, dude? Your thoughts and you know, I know you want to hear more Nancy stories. That's for damn sure.
Well, as far as this damn movie goes, I'll go ahead and give this a straight up five. Five for effort, you know. They kept consistent with the characters. There was some good little tidbits that we learned. I mean, the whole Morningside thing. You know, we got a little more background on the tall man. No resolution of where he came from or why he is the way he is. And I love the damn flashback footage, you know, from things from, you know, from part one. But, yeah, honestly, that again, this movie just irritates the crap out of me, and I really need to be forced into watching this again, because I'm serious. Like, I'm not going to be able to sit down and just say, yeah, this is great, you know, loving this. No, that's not going to happen. So, no, I'll stick with 1, 2, and 3, and part 5, well, I'll give my thoughts on part 5, but 1, 2, and 3. I'll tolerate 3, but no. Part 4 is definitely a strong 5.
Yeah, I was kind of going back and forth. Like, I probably would have gave this a 6, but after watching 5, you know, we'll see where I put that. And after, you know, kind of going through all them all, you can kind of have a better gauge on what you would rate them. And for sure, yeah, I mean, don't want a copycat, but yeah, I would have to give it like a 5 out of 10 because it just seems like so middle of the road. And even if that, the only reason it gets a 5 is just because I'm a Phantasm fan. So I appreciate, even though it's a boring film, I appreciate, you know, them continuing this saga and them kind of, you know, trying to finish off this story. But again, it feels like this one could have just, you really could have gone without it. The only things that are worth it is that little tall man scenes here and there. Or any tall man scenes are good, but that's about it. And then the old flashbacks, like, I love A. Michael Baldwin, but it's like his scenes are so boring. Reggie does really nothing the whole film, just kind of wasting our time. And yeah, man, 5 out of 10. So definitely one that I'm not going to be going back to either, unless I do another franchise review to it. I watch them all. I'll even watch, you know, like, we'll talk about Part 5, but Part 5 I didn't have really fond memories. But kind of going back to it, I was like, I'd much rather watch 5 than 4, but we'll get to that in a second. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. And Chris, what about that tall man?
Man, you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong.